Last week we had a chance to begin, to open the world of Hechsher Kelim, and we saw that Hechsher Kelim started from the Psukim. Hechsher Kelim has two different addresses. In Chumash, we saw Hechsher Kelim has two different addresses in Mishnayos and Gemara and Rif and Rosh and Rambam and Tur Shulchan Aruch. Two addresses in Chumash we saw were Parshas Matos and Parshas Tzav. Parshas Matos in the context of Kalei Nachrim, and Parshas Tzav in the context of Kalei Chatas, the pot that had been in which a Jew had cooked Kohanim, because Kohanim wanted to eat Karban Chatas, which Kohen had cooked Karban Chatas. And so each of those Parshas had different focus. Number one, the Parshas Matos addresses both Tevilas Kelim as well as Hechsher Kelim, and we saw Machlokas, Rashi, Ramban, where exactly in the Psukim do you see Tevilas Kelim, and which parts of those Psukim talk about Hechsher Kelim. Tzav is exclusively about Hechsher Kelim. Obviously, the fact that you use the pot for a carbon chassis doesn't mandate that you tovel it. And we also noticed that there are other differences, and we began to look at which aspects of Hechsher Kelim appear in which place. And we saw the beginning of a discussion, and especially Ramban had begun to unpack that more in the Psukim, the beginning of a discussion of Kabolo Kachpolto in Parshas Matos. The beginning of the discussion about different kashering processes. Certainly the distinction between Hadach on the one hand, Tashmisha Betzonin, where you clean the surface, versus the type of Hechsher that actually removes Bias, and the Ramban even suggested if you dig deeper into different metals or appear in the Psukim, so you're getting the sense sometimes Tashmisha Bechamen, sometimes Tashmisha Bu'ur, or the Hagala and Liban respectively. While in the Parashat Tzav, we'll come back to the process the Parashat Tzav talks about. That's going to be the topic of Daf Ayin Vav. We'll get to that not tonight. Parashat Tzav speaks exclusively about Hagala. Parshas Tzav does highlight the question of materials. The Matos is focused on the process, kashering processes. Parshas Tzav gets us thinking about different materials. Specifically, Parshas Tzav opens, as ultimately the Rambam does in Perek Yizayin Hilchos Machal Susuris, cheres, break it. Metal, you can kasher. So those, as we said, those are sort of the two main issues we're going to be thinking about and bouncing back and forth between over the course of learning Hechsher Kelim is the question of different kashering processes and of different types of Kelim. One of the issues and types of Kelim is different materials. Not the only issue, but certainly the first issue that you come across. And then, with that framework of thought in mind, then we saw the Psukim highlight, the two parshas highlight the two basic questions of processes and Kelim, in terms of the addresses in the text of the Torah Shabbat Peh, so that was Kalei Nachrim versus Kalei Chametz. That's in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, Vodazarim Tzachim, and that's the Rishonim pick up, the Rif and the Rush. The Rambam has it both in the last parak of Machal Sasuris, as well as earlier in the middle of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, and in Turin Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridaya, and in Arachayim. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the earlier this evening, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, so the blue set, they always give you on the outside, the spine of each volume, they give you the number of the volume, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, whatever, then they give you like a very, very brief table of contents, just like four or five of the headers for what's in this volume of Mishnah Berurah. So I noticed, volume Hey, Pesach, Hagolas Kelim, Yom Tov, the Sphere of Omer, Yom Tov. Hagolas Kelim was only two out of the tens of Siman of Hilchos Pesach. There's only Tzav Nav, Tzav Nav. But that's very significant. Not just because they're long, but it has impact far beyond Hilchos Pesach, as we see in the Shulchan Aruch here. Now, dig in. We had begun to discuss details last time, and we'll pick up from there and see where it takes us. So the jumping off point in terms of getting to details was that Braisa we began to look at last time, the Balvayin Hamid Beis, the Braisa that had laid out, expanding on the Mishnah, the Braisa had laid out four different options for what you do when you get Klein Achrim. Option number one is it's never been used, it doesn't require any Hakshir, it just requires Tevila, if it's metal or glass. And then the three different potential Hechsher options. Hadacha, if it's just Tashmisha B'tzonin. Hagala, if it's Tashmisha B'chamin, wet heat. And Liebman, if it's Tashmisha B'ur, dry heat. We've begun to explore Hadacha. I want to continue to talk about that. Thank you so much. Continue to talk about the questions of Hadacha. Last time we had seen from the Rishonim in the Shulchan Aruch, and Se'if Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch had quoted this there, that you have to clean the surface. And specifically, Tzarech L'shaf Shafan Heitev, that was a comment of the Ravid. Obviously, it's not just a question of a simple rinse, because you're doing Tevila anyways. Tevila and Hadach, I was talking about a very vigorous scrubbing. And we had spent time last time a big machlokas that Rashba had quoted about thinking about this hadacha.
Okay,
all right. Thinking about this hadacha and does it lend itself to Eina Benyom? I have a dirty pot and it has residue on it, and I didn't clean it for 24 hours. So from a kitchen hygiene perspective, it's not very exciting. But leaving that aside, would I say if I use the pot that's been dirty and unwashed for more than 24 hours, and then I use it for other kosher food, would I say that it makes the food treifing? If you start cheshbonin, do I have shishim in the food against the residue? Or do I say no, the residue is ain't a ben yomo, no, it's in tam of gam. That was a big machok version. The Rambam Takath held, they do say no, it's in tam of gam. That is, as you saw, the simple reading of the Hemshech HaGemara here. On the other hand, many Rishonim pushed back. The Rashba quoted many Rishonim, Raivin and others, who pushed back and said it can't be. You only say in a Ben Yomo on a Bliya within something that's absorbed into the walls of the pot. Something that either requires a Hagala or a Liban. But residue that requires a Dacha, it's no different than a piece of food. If you leave a piece of food out long enough, then it spoils. We don't say Eina Ben Yomo. We don't do no automatic dinner of Eina Ben Yomo. And we saw,
he says over here in the sun.
We looked to Simon Kuf Habay, the next Simon, the Simon about Nosan Tam of Gam. We saw that we paskin against the Rambam. We like the Ravid that if you did not do Hadacha, there is no din of Eino Ben Yomo. Now there's another din that comes up here as well, a practical din in the world of Hadacha, that also, it's I think, thematically connected. And this actually brings us, from Sif Aleph, which is the official address of Hadacha, because Sif Beis and Nanas Regi be the world of Hadala, this takes us deeper into Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph and to Sif. Hey, specifically in the Rambam.
I saw in the Bar Tumah, he said, for some reason I thought Rashi said it, but he doesn't say it's
and the Ramah says in Sif Hey, let's say I have a Kli, and this is really the Rush has this discussion. Let's say I have a Kli that I got from the Nachri. He used it for Tarfas. And I know I have to kasher it. I have a pot, I have a soup spoon, whatever it is. Sometimes going to need kasher, I need Hagalah, I need Libun, whatever it is. It's going to need kasher. But for now, let's say I got a soup bowl. And I know I'm going to have to kasher, but for now, I just wash it as a very pretty bowl. I use it as a fruit bowl. If I ever want to use it, that's a shiloh. Here's the shiloh. We got a bowl for the nachar. They probably served meatballs in it. They served whatever. Hot salami. Salami in it. Tarfas. Not kosher salami. Trefa bowl. Trefa bowl, you got a kosher. And I want to know, it's a beautiful bowl. I don't have time to kasher it. We're making a shavu brachas tonight. I want to use that bowl to serve the dessert. You can serve a trifle in it, whatever. To put our cookies in it. Cold. Cold. So when I have a chance, I'll kasher it. But can I use it now just with hadacha? Hadacha alone is something that requires, up until now we say, right, we said there are three categories of, we categorize kelim based on what their tashmish is. Tashmish with sona, tashmish with common, or tashmish with or. So yeah, up until now we said, if it's tashmish with sona in hadacha, let's say it's tashmish with common, it's tashmish with or. But I want to do hadacha. So obviously I can't use it b'chaman, but I'm not going to use it b'chaman. There isn't going to be any time transfer. So what's the din? So Rama says, you and Sifei, Mutar l'shtavish bo tzonis, afil l'chatchila, they had dacha v'shif shaketim. Something that the Shulchan Aruch been talking about, an item that really requires leaving. I have a fork, those big grill forks that you use to turn the burgers. So that requires Liban. Right now I want to use it just for something cold. So I'll scrub it down, and the surface is clean. Rama says, yeah, you can scrub it down and then use it for something cold. The kolshkein, the klisha tarach hagala. Even a kli that really requires Liban, scrubbing is enough to allow it to use it cold. Certainly, if you just have a pot or a soup bowl, something that just requires hagala, certainly you can just scrub it down and use it as it. You use it as it.
What is Rashi mean when he says yigalum? Yochel yandiach esaknani.
We'll get to the rest of Rama in a moment. Rama is another movement century. But let's just think about this for a moment. That this is what the Rosh refers to as a Hechsher Lachatzon. You can do a halfway Hechsher. I think it may have been the Maram Kamos. The Rosh is commenting. He has a Raya from the Mishnah that you can do this. What's his Raya? Let's take a look inside. His Raya, what the Mishnah says about knives.
Calculator
around
and
then
making
a question. Yeah, Simon Lam, if you have the Avodah Zarah.
You mean like to put pressure on?
The Russian Simon Lam Vav. Simon Lam Vav begins with.
So we see that you're not allowed to steal.
With the Brysa, we'll skip a few lines. We'll come back to it in soon. But about eight lines into Simon Lam Vav, Simon Lam Vav is very long.
Right, okay.
Eight lines into Simon Lam Vav. The end of the line, right before the gimel with the bracket, right above the gimel with the bracket. The one ends, the yesh hechsher lachatzon. You can kasher something halfway. How does he know? The Mishnah says, the last line of the Mishnah, after the Mishnah has spoken about Hagala and Libun, the Mishnah then said, Hasakin shafas, the Mishnah in Hayim Vez. Hasakin shafas, the Hitaura. You have a knife, you. Rub it down. They may refer to polishing. We'll get to the dinim of knives later. Knives are fascinating. So Yosef Zayin. The Mishnah says you can rub down the surface, and then it's tahor, then it's kosher. What do you mean? Rashi says the Rav Rosh. Tzarech Hadayim LaHagil.
He does all mitzvahs.
You're going to have to kasher it if you want to cut something hot. But Yalo Yotzi Mituma Lagamri. It's not totally out of tarfus. The tarfus is still absorbed within it.
And the veil.
He does it right. He keeps all of it. What she is, he does 6-12 out of 6. One says he just eats the veil.
So that's what the Rosh says. Arayah from the Mishnah, Saka Shafi Torah. It's the open, closing sugya as well. We saw this in Bas B'chav. We'll come back to this context as well. The very, very end of the Masechta, and Ayin Vav and Bein, one tells the whole story about Shavur Malka, and the two Jews come to visit the Persian Emperor, Shapur, and they're doing the Itza B'karka. What's this whole the Itza B'karka? What are you sticking the knife into the soil for? Stick the knife into the soil it doesn't remove any bleas that absorbed within. It just cleans the surface. And yet, apparently, that's legitimate. But it was a Nachri's knife. But that was fine. Okay, that's not exactly that. The Shapur story, the Nachri's using it. But the Mishnah indicates that even for a Jew, I'm allowed to use the Nachri's knife as long as I clean the surface. So you cut cold things, or cut hot meat. maybe that they then have to kasher it first. Right. If I want to cut a sharp onion, I maybe have to kasher it first, perhaps. But just to cut cucumbers, like I have the nachri's knife, it's oozing. It's full of treif v'blius. That's fine. If it's for cold, just clean the surface and you're good to go. You're good.
Whatever, I found it fascinating.
And that takes us back to Simon Sariyah from Bas Bukhal. And the Shach says that the Iker Adin I can use on a temporary basis. I can use a clean fleshig bowl for cold milk. Have cereal milk in the fleshig bowl. Have cereal milk in a treifa bowl. Right? They bring. They bring you the China bowl type of shale milk. So as long as it's clean, you can pour the shale milk in. So now what's interesting is the context. Because the context in which the Shulchan presents this is the Ramah is working off the Mechaber. The Mechaber had said an item that requires Liban, you're not allowed, if you just did Hagalah, you can't use it here on top. If I have a grill, if I have that fork that I use on the grill that requires Liban, I have a frying pan that I use to pan fry, just with Pam, and that's something that requires Liban, I'm not allowed to use it. Even if I did Hagalah, I'm not allowed to use it, even just with wet heat. You could have made the argument, I got out whatever bleus or get outable, you know, whatever is sort of the shallower bleus that cooking would remove. Okay, it got removed with Hagalah. Whatever got baked in more deeply requires leave, but that will only come out in a dry heat situation. Shulchan Aruch says that's not true. That's not true. I cannot use if I have a spit that requires Liban, if I do an Hagalah is a zero. Doing Hagalah is a zero. And that's fascinating. Hadacha is different than the other two. Hadacha is different than Hagalah and Liban. Hadacha has substance to it. Even when there's a need for Hagalah and Liban later on. But Hagalah has no substance of the need for Liban later on. That's parallel to the din that we ended off with last time, that we mentioned before, that there's no Eina Ben Yomo on surface bleus. In other words, we assume, halacha consistently, that there's a total difference between surface residue and internal bleus. Kula bein l'chumra. In other words, on the one hand, surface residue doesn't yield to the heter of Eina Ben Yomo.
So we see
we pass like arrive against the Rambam. On the other hand, I don't have to be nice to, but the
Gertrude, yes,
also. Hadacha is absolutely critical in that sense. Hadacha is, you can't compensate for your lack of hadacha by even b'dieved with your meis leis. It's not going to help. And hadacha, in a certain sense, is more is particularly powerful. In other words, called my you're dealing with tzone, I don't care what's going on inside the kliyim. So hadacha is enough.
So the difference is not necessarily
inside Gaza. Yeah. Right. Correct.
No. It just in general, if a person does business,
correct. Shvias, and then it is important to mention that Ramah continues to qualify this kula of the hadach is not to use a bitzonin, but also to add a larger minhag as well. Yeshach Chatzon, the tzonin, right. Now, you don't say Yeshach Chatzon, b'cham. You say Yeshach Chatzon, the tzonin. Because after all, the riot from the Mishnah was a knife that you cleaned the surface, or which you cleaned the surface. Then the Ramah goes on to here and says, hey, and this is consistent with what the Shach talks about in Simon Sadial, we mentioned before. The third line, second line, the Davka B'Darach HaRei, you're allowed to just do Hadacha and just use the Kli B'Tzonin, it's a tray for Kli, but to use the B'Tzonin, the Davka, that's an important din, is the Davka B'Darach HaRei. It's only on a temporary basis. You're going to the base Akum. You're in the Nachri's house. So you want to cut your apple. You're in the Nachri's house, or you're in the Nachri's hotel for that matter. So okay, so you check the knife, it's, you rinse it if need be, scrub it if need be, or you see that it's clean, here I scrub it. It's a shame. You can use a knife, the tray for knife, the clean surface, to cut your apple. The knives in the pre-modern era sometimes are difficult even to clean the surface. Okay, or you have a spoon, whatever it is. But I think you have to make sure it's clean.
Does it have to be done by a Jew, though?
That's right. Even Havel and Lieben don't have to be done by a Jew. You have to have Jewish supervision, so you have the nemanas. But if it's just a question of hadacha, so I can just check and see that. Yeah. He says, but this is fine, Aroi, on a temporary basis. For instance, you're in a non-Jewish space. Or b'di'evet.
What I'm asking is why the
b'di'evet.
Let me rephrase. This case is that we just said that.
What do you mean b'di'evet?
As opposed to, is that
so the Rosh Hashanah has an interesting comment.
Or is that a,
he says, b'di'evet usually means you already used it.
Is that a...
So the Shach says, that's not what he means here. It says, Kolomar Shekino, Sifkan Yudav. Shekino, She'ain lo Kli Acher. He bought it, and he doesn't have any other such Kli.
Between the two.
And he hasn't had a chance to do Hagala yet. Again, remember, Hagala for us is pretty simple. We have plenty of pots at our disposal, plenty of fresh water flowing out of the faucet, and we have plenty of gas flowing out of the oven in a controlled way. And it's very easy to get a pot of boiling water going in the kitchen. So for us, Hagala is very simple. But Hagala was not always so simple. Getting water from the well, the valley all the way up to the town was often not a simple thing. And the wood, it was a big deal. So you bought such a clean, I don't have another one. This is my only spoon. This is my only vegetable peeler. This is my only fill in the blank. So the Shach says, "Ain lo kli acher. I don't have another such kli. This is only one of this type that I have, and I haven't had the chance to do agal yet. So mutal ishtamish bo. I'm allowed to use it. But then ishtamish bo diavad. If it literally be diavad, shelo yasa hamayichal. That I cleaned the surface and I used it, and the food is in tray." That's a davar pasha. Shach said, "Rama didn't have to tell me that. That's obvious, especially since he just said it before." Mutal Hashtamish. It's self-evident, and Rama already said that. He said, I'm allowed to do it. So what do you mean, did he have it? He said, allowed to do it. Clearly, it doesn't make the food trip. It must be here we're using the interesting, we're using the evidence in the colloquial sense. The posting of a principle, Shasat Chakid Yevadam. In a situation where you're stuck, so that has the same rules as Bidyevet. If it's singly mutter, Bidyevet, it's mutter chatchil b'shasat chak. Because of that, often equation, so people sometimes colloquially use the word Bidyevet to mean b'shasat chak. It's a Dyevet situation. I'm stuck. Dyevet means it already happened post facto. But usually I people say, it's a big situation, what it doesn't mean is it's a Shach Sachak.
Right.
It's interesting, because Shach is saying, that's the Ramah use the language here. Right? He's saying, Ramah didn't literally mean B'dievet. The fact that it doesn't make the food trait, of course. That's self-evident from the previous line. What the Ramah really means to say is B'Shach Sachak. If you're stuck, you're in a pinch. You're in a pinch.
We started with Rabbi Kiva, saying that as long as there's no Chilul Hashem, then it's good, right?
Yeah, you bought it, you have it. I guess, if it's always, you've always already bought it.
You know, so is it?
Yeah, it's interesting. But the Ramah says, okay, so this is important. There is such a, the Rush says it. Ramah says the Rush says it. Yesh Hashem Hatzan. Hadacha works even if the Kli is still faith.
Aval
imrotzel l'hishtamish bo bekeva. But if you want to use it on an ongoing basis, he says yesh machmirim va'omrim dafil l'hishtamish. Yesh machmirim va'omrim dafil l'hishtamish bo tzon in tzarech hagala libun gezeira sham hishtamish bo chav. So there are rishonim. He writes to
the whole reason why.
But if not,
but if no kiddush hashem problem, you lost the other way.
No, you know,
who are uncomfortable with keeping this? You have this as an ongoing situation in your kitchen. If it's a one-time basis, until I have kasha, I'll remember. But to have this forever after, I'm just going to use this mug for cold.
Right. Yeah,
it's going to sit there in your kitchen for years.
If you can get
the tray for mug they're using for cold, sooner or later someone's going to forget. Sooner or later someone's using it to make a hot cup of coffee. It's not always going to be used for cold chocolate. It will eventually be used for hot chocolate. And then No, I think it's not going to make a trace with the oven because they ain't a yom at that point, but still. So that's why Ramah says that the heksher lachetzon is fine on a temporary basis, or if you're stuck. But not to do it b'kviz. And then he goes v'hachinogin. And then he says v'hachinogin, going a step further. This notion of You really be better on the long run for kasher. He says, we even take that a step further. This comes back to the world of tashnami hadacha, but tashmisha b'tzonin. Afilu kein l'shetashmisha b'tzonin. Im yesh lachush shechim v'yayin kigom klei kasev. No adin lahagel ve'in l'shanach.
There's no Kiddush Hashem problem.
He says, if you have a kli that's probably only used with coal, but it could be once enough and use it without. He says, or you bought containers or tables, countertops. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, grew up in Varsha. She told me, once talking about kashrut for Pesach. She said, and all of a sudden everything makes so much more sense. It's all about kashrut in the tables. She said, okay. The table, there was a sink in the kitchen, but the sink wasn't attached to 10, 20 linear feet of counters. There was a sink, and then there was a table. And the wooden table, that was the counter. That's where you prepared the food, on the table.
So now that we have Roma's answer.
That was a counter. So when they talk about kosher the table, they don't just mean the table you eat on. They mean the table that you're, upon which you're preparing food.
Either one.
Let's say. Great. Okay. So he says,
the minig is to Havela. Who knows? Maybe once it was a nishbach all of the chav.
They both agree to this concept.
So he says that's only chatchila v'bidyevet. Not. So that's why if you get a mug from an achri, a cheres mug that was probably in the past only used betzonin, you have the right to can. Rinse it and continue scrubbing it to use a b'tzonin. So that's important. Hadachah has its power. Hadachah has its limitations. Hadachah has its power.
So that hadachah
not only works fully for klisha tashmisha b'tzonin, but hadachah even works partially for klisha tashmisha b'chamin or b'ur. That at least on a temporary basis, I could scrub the outside and then use it betzonin. I can't use it bechamer until I kasher it further, but I can use it betzonin. And then I must say, on a temporary basis, or on a pinch. Long term, you should really kasher it. Don't let this sit around. Maybe it's really because, in general, we're fans of kashering things. Yeah, I have it around. Even though they probably use tashmisha betzonin, it would be better to. To do hagavish. That does not apply in my kitchen, just to be clear. In other words, if we accidentally stuck a milchik spoon into soup, but it was under Yazal Erezbo, so there's no l'chatchili yot kasher. No, we know what happened. We know it's only tashmish.
I'm sorry.
If you get it from the guy, he bought this from an achri, yeah, it looks like it's the sort of thing that was probably only used by Tonin. So that Mikra didn't just do the Hadacha, but the minig is, you're not 100% sure. Maybe once or twice used this b'chamin. Nowadays it often plays out as... We're not sure how they wash the dishes. So that's one of the major issues, even in a coffee shop. They may have washed the candle they used for this together with the candle they used for the sandwiches. Even if everything's tashmisha b'tzonin, when it goes, when they probably wash it in hot water. That's sort of a modern parallel to what the Rav Ma is saying. More generally, the Nachri is a kli that's typically used for tzonin, but maybe he wants to use it for chamin. It's an ice cream scooper. Presumably, ice cream scoopers use for tzonin. I don't know. Maybe once he couldn't find the spoon for a soup and he used it for the hot chicken soup or the hot tray for soup. Who knows? So that's what Rav Ma says. You buy a can for the Nachri if it's ceramic.
Yes,
you can't kasher. We don't buy ceramic clay from an achri there tashmisha b'chamin. If you get a ceramic clay that's only meant to use b'tzonin, then just scrub it and use it. You're not going to pose any chumas. But if you're buying a clay that lends itself to kashering, even though it's a tashmisha b'tzonin, we'd say hadach works mikra. The minig is just kasher. If you can't just kasher, you're not ever really sure how to use it.
Kiva, we let Salah.
Okay, so those are that's the long and short of Hadacha, the power, and then the limitations as well. Hechsher Chatzon Maker didn't work, but Lamaisa we're hesitant to rely on Hadacha for the long term, and even for something that was probably El Tashmishu B'Tzonin, we still would want to rely on Hadacha alone if it's something that lends itself to Hagala or Liba. Okay. Yeah, question.
Gezel Kanani Osir.
Maybe that came up in Saudi Bays. A possibility, a case where you talk out of yard, where they were boiling or heating the water for dishwashing. How often that happened? Again, right. Hot water was an expensive commodity. To us, hot water is of negligible cost. It's an interesting question. Why come here? We're not worried that the nachi washed it.
Right. Even if it's not in your hand. Right. But if before maybe it's in your hand.
Maybe you have some. Maybe
you got. Gotta take a look. I'm not sure. You know, we should dig in more. See what the latest farm says.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
What does that mean?
That's an interesting question.
So it's gotta be. That even by Jews gotta come.
Washing dishes is not only a modern need. The question is wash dishes in hot water? Is ubiquity of hot water for dishwashing modern? Did hot water used to be a novelty? So maybe if that was already rare and you don't know what else, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I got
to
take a look more.
Interesting question.
I want to spend a little time going back to Siv Beis. Let's already dig into Siv Beis. Siv Beis officially begins the world of Haggadah.
Right,
then Siv Gimel already tells you, well, many more details of Haggadah. Take a look in Hilchos Pesach. And that's where we're headed beyond tonight. As a matter of fact, the Li Neder, I do not think I will be able to give the Chabur the next 2 weeks. I apologize. I'm going to be in Israel next week and in Virginia the week after. So Billy Netter over there, we're not done yet. We're going to go back to tonight. But Siv Gimel is Billy Netter where we're going beyond. I want to, over the next day or two, Billy Netter put out lengthier Maram HaKavos than usual. So there'll be what to work on next couple weeks in terms of really getting into the guts, the nuts and bolts, I should say, of Haggadah. But the Siv Beis opens Haggadah with sort of fascinating side issues. Let's take a look at that now. Lokach mehem kelim shenishbat nishtamesh behem becharim bein shel mateches o shel eitz o shel evan magilon v'achach matbilon imhem shel mateches behem utar. So what does the Mechaber say? The Mechaber says a few things. Number one, he says Haggadah is available for metal and for wood and for stone. Take a look in the tour. He tells you this actually is an old machlokas amongst the gaonim. There were gaonim who held, remember we said before, that the issue that the psukim in Parshas Tzav highlight is materials. Metal lends itself to kashrim. Nechoshes bushala, merak v'shutaf b'mayim. If it's a copper kli, then you can kasher it. And in Matas you have a longer list of metals that are kasherable. And the psukim in Tzav say, but if it's cheres, then you can't kasher. How about everything else? Here, that's so the first topic that comes up in the world of Haggadah is a list of materials: metal, wood, and stone. Stone. You see, the Beri Golah says, it's the Torah, the name of the Rif, the name of the Rambam, and they say, as opposed to Rav Haigon, who had a tradition that stone is like cheres and stone is not kasherable. We don't accept that. We assume that stone is kashrul, and that wood is kashrul, and metal is kashrul. As we proceed beyond this evening, we'll have to take a look at some of the more questionable materials, like glass and plastic. It should be noted, I think the Gra points out that Araya, the source for this, is a Mishnah. The previous Mishnah. We've been very focused on the Mishnah Ayin Hei Mebeis Avodah Zarah. But how about Ayin Dalad on the Beis? So you're saying, hey, one second, I thought Kashering started on Ayin Hei. What's the Mishnah before? The answer is that much of this Perek is about the halachas of Yein Akum, of non-Jewish wine, including, as the Perek proceeds, questions of how you kasher a winery. How do you kasher a winery? Which is an interesting question. Let's say a Jew buys a non-Jewish winery, and you want to switch over to kasher. See here, the Mishnah begins to talk about a gas shall even and shall eitz and shall cheres. If they have a wine pit, it may have been made of stone, or may have been made of wood, or may have been made out of ceramic. So you have to, I don't want to get too much into the details. If it's zipsa, if it was it was coated, or at least the holes were closed with some sort of tar-based cork, the tar with a zephes, so the Mishnah said, Mishnah talks about how you're going to deal with that. So if it's stone, you can deal with it. If it's wood, you can deal with it. But if and in the discussion, do you have to peel away the tar or not? But shalcheres, if it's ceramic, then you can't deal with that, because the cheres is bolei of the wine, and the cheres cannot be kashered. So the Mishnah here is already drawing distinction between stone and wood on the one hand versus cheres on the other. So God says that's one of the indications, like the Rif of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch against the Ravaigon, that stone is on the same side of the fence as the wood and metal. Stone is kashrul. This is a very important point. We're not talking about stoneware. The term stoneware is not stone. Stone is like quartz, marble. But the stone counter that. But the term stoneware nowadays is it's a reference to a particular subtype of ceramic that's cheretz. Stoneware is cheretz. We mean actual stones. You can kosher your granite countertops. So machlokas always gaonim. We paskin that you can kosher a granite countertop. Whether you want to kosher a granite countertop or not, whether you think it's going to do too much damage to the wood below, the wood is also kosherable, but it may get ruined by the water. So that's a question of practicalities. But fundamentally, we paskin that metal and wood and stone are kashrul. That's number one. Okay. One interesting issue. And you see the first line of the Ramah is, din klei etzem, ayin hilchos pesach simen tapnun off. Okay, you're already telling you there are other materials we could think about. Bone. Craftsman made some sort of bowl out of bone. Is that kashrul? Look in hilchos pesach, and that's a good point. We didn't see glass here either. Look in hilchos pesach, and you'll find it. Okay. That's why I give a sense of where we're headed. At least Rosh HaPrakim, one interesting question to think about is going to be materials. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, Magilan, you can kasher these materials, Yachach Magbilan, and then Tovel them, Imhem Shamatechas, if they're metal, wood and stone don't require Tevila. Tevila's Kelim is only for metal and Midraban for glass. Okay. And then he raises a question about how about if you flip the order? If hidvila v'achach higilan mutarin, v'yeshar mishet sarach lachzer u'lahatvila. Let's say you did tevila first and hagala second. Does that work, or do you have to re-tovel? So in a sense, it's really more of a tevilas kelim issue as opposed to hechsher kelim issue, but it's being raised here. Where does it come from? So the brisa we had seen had said the brisa by Mehemah Beis had said. Madichan umadbilan vehein tahorin. Magilan umadbilan vehein tahorin. Melabnan umadbilan vehein tahorin. Kept saying, do the hechsher and then do the tevila. So, hadacha, of course you have to clean the surface first. Of course, if you didn't clean the surface first, you're going to have to retovel. Because you probably have chatzitzas. Okay. But hagala and libun, That's what Tosus raises the issue. The second class Tosus, Magilmat Bilvain Taurin, Lav Dafka Magulachan Gatbil. Tosus right away jumps and says, the order is irrelevant. I feel Matbil Bereisha. Why? So he says, the Hach Tevilein Bishvil Tumma. It's not a question, not that it's Tameh. The Lehavi Ketovel Vesheret Viado. If it was a question of Tumma, so then I would say, look! The Gemara gives us, Masachas Tanis gives us a very vivid case. A guy, you clean up a dead mouse. Hopefully that's only an apartment reality, not a house reality. But some of us may have apartment memories of coming face to face with little critters. So if it's a live mouse that you touch, a live mouse is not matame. But if the mouse had already starved out, you found him on the trap, whatever it is, if you touch a dead mouse, a mouse is a sheretz, a dead sheretz is a matame of maga. Okay. So if Meher Yibana based on Mikdash, she should be zochet to paraduma, she should be zochet to live in a time when Tumma and Tara is once again relevant with Ian Truma, Ian Kachim. So if you touched a sheretz, the sheretz is an avat tumma, that made me a rishon tumma, I go to mikvah and I have harav shemesh, then at night I'm tar. Gevaldik. Let's say I go into the mikvah, the Gemara says, imagine I walk in the mikvah, I'm still holding the dead mouse. Tovel v'sheretz biyado. You go into the mikvah, you're still holding the dead mouse. So forget about the question of you're holding anything in your hand, it may be a chatzitza, okay, holding it loosely, but I'm holding a very, very loosely, very gingerly holding the mouse. But Maisa, how is it that the mikvah is not going to help? You're still holding the source of the tumma. First you have to let go of the source of the tumma, and then you can talk about tahara. This comes up in Tanis in the context of the parallel to tshuva. Gemara says, yeah, I'm doing tshuva, haven't yet let go of the aveira. What type of tshuva is that? That's like going to the mikvah. You haven't yet let go of the sheretz. So the Tosa says, Tova sheretz b'yado is relevant to tumma. It's relevant to tshuva, but it's not relevant to tefilas kelim. Why? Because tefilas kelim isn't about tumma. What do you mean it's not about tumma? He goes on to explain. Da'afilu chadashim tzrichim tvila. New kelim also require tvila. Meaning. What do you see from the fact that a new kli requires tvila? That tvila is unrelated to what? It's unrelated to any charfis. There is no charfis. It came straight out of the kiln. Came straight out of the factory, and I buy it from the guy, and I have to do tefillah. So obviously, it doesn't do with the tray for food, the tray for blias. So even if there are tray for blias, right there, what does it matter that I did tefillah before I did the Haggadah? Lama, who cares? Who cares?
So conceptually, what's the purpose of the tefillah?
That's a great question. Let's hold. He goes on, by the way, to connect it. We'll come back to your point in a moment. It's a very central point. He goes on to make the point that we saw in the Rush more directly. It says, Sakin shafa v'hi tahora afakav lo tahora l'gabre sheri tzricha gil lach tahor zeyach fil hachi matbil lach tahor zoning. He says, if you have the knife that we were just talking about before, the Rush is hechsher lachatzon. You have the knife, so it still has balua Trefa Blias, but I can just rub down the surface and cut something cold with it. So Tosus assumes that the knife is metal, not an unreasonable assumption. He says you have to do tvila before you cut with it, not just hadacha. So you're doing hadacha and tvila, but not hagala. So beferish, if the knife in the Mishnah is a metal knife, rather than a wooden knife or a stone knife, obsidian, whatever, so then clearly, you're doing tevila before Hagala. So Tosas has an argument with Svara. Tevila has nothing to do with the Tarfus. Bein lahakol, bein lahachmer. After Tovel, even there's no Tarfus. So what did not mean I could Tovel even if the Tarfus is still there. And the Raya from the Mishnah about the Saka. David raised the question of, well, but Tosas is proving that this must be the case. But why? So the why is interesting. The Rush, that's what I said before, we were sort of skipping around the Rush, because the Rush, before he gets to the Hechsher HaChatzon, he begins with this question. And where Tosfos only presented one opinion, order does not matter. Take a look in the Rush. Let's go back. Where was the Siman Lamed Vav in Parakeh? Okay. I don't know if this will be easier or harder. So the Rush, a few lines, but he's a Pirish Rush Bam. Davka Magila Malablan Trila. Now we have a name attached to the opinion that Tosis was rejecting. The Rash Bam is of the Rash's grandson, said you have to do the Hechsher first. Hitbil Trila Tov Visharat Biado. Now we understand why Tosis is. This is not Tov Visharat Biado. Obviously, they were attacking, someone said it is. Now we know who. It's the Rash Bam. And the Rush then quotes the approach of Tosis. Lo Nahira. Hach Tvila Mashum Tumma. Tvila Chadashim Shechim Tvila. And then he goes on to talk about the Hesher Lachatzan. Okay, so now between Tosis and the Rush, you get a fuller picture. So it's a Machlokas Rashbam, where we saw it before, the Shulchan Aruch has Machlokas Rashbam and Tosis. Rashbam thinks this the order matters, the Rush thinks that the order does not. But we're still left wondering David's question, right? The Rashbam had explained a svar for his position. Tovu v'sharet biyado. So Tosis said, no. Tovu v'sharet biyado is irrelevant. The tefillah has nothing to do with the tefillah has nothing to do with the tarfus. What does it matter that it's absorbed treifa flavor? So what? So what does that have to do with the tefillah? So Taka, what was the Rashbam thinking? Taka v'kasha. You take a look at the Ran wraps the sugya up for us. He makes two important points. He explains the Rashbam. If you don't have a Psachim here, these copies have the copies that have Sifhei on one side have the Ran on the other side. The Ran of Psachim here it's Sif. It's a Chesam Ebeiz B'Dapi Arif. This is in the second pack of Psachim on the. This is I think our first time coming in this round of Shiurim to the Psachim Sugis. The Rif here quotes the Brisa from Avodah Zarah, and the Ran comments. Yedim Asal Madicha. Madicha Madbilan Vein Torin. He quotes Yerushalmi. Tzar, you have to do after Tovel Kalim. If they Shiyatsu Mitum Aso Shal Nachri, Vinichnasu the Kedushaso Shal Yisrael. It's like a Gairus on the Kli. Just like a human being goes to mikveh to pick up Kedushas Yisrael, so too the Kli is going to pick up the Kedusha of a Jewish kitchen. This is a Shech to quote from the Rav. I think his Nusach was that there's, I think the Rav may have points out in the Shiurim on Maseches Yuma that is a very strange, we take it for granted. The whole, the five tefillahs of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur are very bizarre, they're very anomalous. He's not Tamei. Mimanafshach. If he's Tamei, going to mikveh doesn't make him tar until that night. And he's been so careful with Tumah. And what do you mean? And you're Tumah five times of course to one day. What does this all mean? What type of tefillah is that? It's not removing. There's no Tumah left to remove. He's so tar, so careful with tar. Okay, so we have a problem now. Who knows that you can be so careful with quarantine and still somehow the guy gets COVID anyways. Okay. But Lamaisa, the Kohen Gadol presumably was careful enough, he was quarantined for 7 days, that's the opening Mishnah Yuma, and that kept him tar. And Imam Shach, if it didn't keep him tar, then going to mikvah on Yom Kippur is not going to help him, because he would need a tefillah and higher shavuot. So what's with the tefillah? So the Rav suggested that usually a tefillah hamitaharas, but sometimes there's a tefillah hamikadeshas. Sometimes the role, every once in a while, the role of the tefillah is not to remove tumah and leave tahara remaining, but rather to usually tefillah subtracts. It removes the tumah. So it's a tefillah mitaharas. But sometimes the tefillah is additive. It's endowing kedusha. I mean, the minig that many have, litvaks and chassidim alike, to go to mikvah before Shabbos or Yom Tov, that's meant to add kedusha. That's a minig, but you have it mikvah din also. That's the tefillah's kohen gadol. And that's the tefillah's hager. The tefillah's hager. Hager is not tameh. A nachri rather is not tamei. As a matter of fact, min haTorah nachrim can never be tamei. Min haTorah only Jews can become tamei. The whole notion of tumah by nachrim is a institution midraban. So what's a tefillah hager? It's not about removing tumah. It's about endowing with kedusha. It's an additive tefillah. So this Yerushalmi that many Rishonim quote, among them the Ran right over here in Psachim, seems to equate the Tfilas Kalim to Tfilas Ager. It's adding Kedusha. And it's stepping away from, in colloquially speaking, Tumah Social Nachri. Not literally the Tumah, but leaving the status of being Nachri and stepping, endowing this human being who becomes a Ger, is endowed with Kedusha Yisrael, and in a certain sense, even the Kalim. So some other time you can think about that. They're very dramatic. Hashkafically very powerful. The idea of Tfilas Kalim is that your kitchen should be kadosh, not just the base marriage is kadosh. The pots and pans are supposed to be, a Jew's pots and pans are supposed to be different, not just not treif, holy. There's a lot to say about that. But the hour is late, and maybe if we get to Tfilas Kalim next year, we could dig more into the. This is sort of really Tfilas Kalim.
That sounds a little bit like what the Rabbanim in Israel is talking about that Peirosh Shvi'is, that it's. There's Kedusha in the payros.
Right. Right. I heard some of I think maybe Rav Rimon pointed out. He was in YU the other week.
Rabbi
Bergman, this past Shabbos. Said, right, Bizman HaZeh, the only Davar Kadosh that we are able to eat in the world is Peirosh Shvi'is. Every other Davar Kadosh is Asur to eat Betumah. Maaser Sheni, Truma, Challah. The only davar kadosh that we have the ability to eat at times which are kadosh, but if the machal has kedusha, typically you can't eat it betumah. The exception is shvius, which has kedusha and therefore has other restrictions, but the restrictions don't have to do with tumah tara. Restrictions have to do with how you eat them. Very fascinating idea. So, but in the larger sense, is kedusha permeates a Jewish kitchen. So he says, "Fikach near to tar lachshos akli l'vimashu ba'dacha ba'gal v'glibun," and then yat pilenu. That's why the seder is ma'akev. That explains the sheet of the Rashbam. This Yerushalmi, that the concept behind Tfilas Kalim is a tefila mikadeshes. So then we understand why the Rashbam said that you have to remove the tray for blia before you tova. Why? Not so much the tray for blia as much as the nachri's blia. If you tova first, then hadayim b'shas tefilah, so bituma could tova v'sheres biyado. And he says that's the meduic, the language of the brisa. So that he's explaining tova v'sheres biyado. Yet if the tefilas kev is not about tuma. And it's not about tarfus either. You pointed out before. And as Tosa said, even Chadasha required tefillah. Yeah, even Chadasha required tefillah. They don't have any treifa flavor in them, but they are historically shal nachri. You're removing the status of being a clay nachri and stepping up to being a clay yisrael. So if it's a kli chadash, there is no physical remnant of it being shal nachri. All you do is tovel it. But if the nachri used it, so then those blias are remnants of the Nachri's usage. And therefore, you ought to let go of that old status before you're total up to a new status. And that's why I think Post can point out that even the Rashbam only says it if it's the Nachri's blias. Let's say I bought a pot from a Nachri and I kashered it. I forgot to total it. Forgot. Or I thought that it was plastic, I didn't realize it was glass, whatever. Lamaisa, I didn't tovel it. But I kashered it. I kashered it. And then I used it. I used it myself. And then I accidentally trafed up the kli. Milchus, fleshiks, mistake in the kitchen. Simon Sayadal. Okay, make a mistake. So you make a mistake, you kasher. And then about to kasher, I say, you know what? We never toveled this. Gewalt. Never toveled it. So you say, run to the mikvah, tovel it right away. Shine. And then you say, 1 second, we toveled it without kashering. Is that a problem? There's treifa blias in it. I took it to the mikvah. It's baluah, mi baster b'chalav. Mamash treif, ben yomo. The post can say, that's for sure not an issue. Why? Because it's treifa blias, but the Tosfos is right. Tefillas Kehillim has nothing to do with trade for Blias, but it does have to do with the historical connection to the Nachri. So if it's a Nachri's trade for Blias, or maybe even potentially Nachri's Kasher Blias, interesting question, maybe, I don't know. That's already a chiddush. But sorry, the Nachri's trade for Blias, Rashbam says, get in the way of the Tefillah, because you still have the remnants of the Nachri, the old Nachri status. You're trying to total up to Jewish status. But if it's my trade for Blias, who cares?
Right,
exactly. Yes. Holy Basta Bechal. Holy Basta Bechal. It's a funny nusach. But yeah. So that's the pshat.
Why did you say it's a
chiddush
that you have to be told of all goyis kli that was only used for kosher? There's no trade in that.
Let's say it's a
store that's owned by a non-Jew. He has
Caleb.
You buy a Caleb, so it's only used for kosher food because it's
a
kosher establishment, but it's owned by a non-Jew.
Nachri owns a kosher restaurant. The Nachri realizes it's good for business to have a run kosher restaurant, so he asks the local Vat to take. So they come in, and they never told with his Caleb because you don't need to because they're owned by a Nachri. Right. So I have kosher, Nachri owned Caleb. And then, let's say the fellow decides he's retiring, moving to Arizona, and he sells a kosher restaurant to a Jew. So the Jew comes in, doesn't have to kosher, but he does have to tovel everything, ironically. Right. So, all right. So would you say he has to kosher because he has to tovel it? It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that's the case.
But I'm saying, I don't think it's the Nachri's. I don't think the issue is the Nachri's trefably, unless it's just the Nachri's usage.
Right. The question is, the Nachri used it. We know the Nachri only used it for kosher food, because they're mashgichim who made sure there's only used for kosher food. It was owned by a Nachri. Would you say you have to kasher out the kosher non-Jewish blias?
Lamare is owned by a non-Jewish guy.
There you go.
And I went to a dinner, and they ordered kosher food from Lamare. It came delivered with a sticker on it. I believe it said, "Have in mind to acquire this kelim after you use it," because it was they dropped it off one time and
Wow!
I took a picture of it.
Intriguing. Yeah. Wow! So I want to leave you with one final lakuda. One final lakuda. After the Ran explains the approach to the Rashbam. So it sounds like there are two approaches. There's Rashbam and there's Tosis. Rashbam says, Seder is Makiv, Retovel. Tosis says, it means nothing. Seder is irrelevant. Ram then goes on to quote his Rebbe. He was a great grand Talmud of the Ramban. He quotes a fascinating Ramban. We'll end with this. Miuk back in the Ram. Miuk Kasa Ramban. Ramban in a middle approach. Lechatchilo hu shetzarech lasos kein. Ideally, you ought to, if you're about to do both, you haven't yet kashered nor tovel, we would tell you, you really ought to kasher first and tovel second. Why? That's the implication of the pasuk. Tavir be'esh, dahinu libun, uvasar kein, v'tahar, dahinu tvila. But b'di'evedi apech, les lamba, the ikuva lo kasiv. Says you have to make sure, obviously, that they was clean. If you have a chatzitza, the tefillah is no good. But the Ramban says, I say lechatchila like the Rashbam and bidyavid like Tosos. Why? So usually when we come across something like that, that means make a din pas like Tosos. But why not be machmer with the Rashbam? So lechatchila, go be machmer Rashbam. But you already did it. We're not going to tell you. You have to be a triach to follow, make the Rashbam happy. Why not make the Rashbam happy? But Nikar didn't we hold lactosis? That's if you saw that in the Ramah, that's what you would assume. That it's a pshara. Nikar didn't we hold lactosis, but we recommend for the Rashbam. That's not what the Ramban said. If you read the Ramban carefully, he wasn't making a pshara. He said lechatchil you ought to do this because that's the mashma'us of the pasuk. But it's not, the pasuk doesn't indicate that likuva. So he's not making a pshara. So that's where he thinks it's not ma'akev, but there's a lechatchila to mekayim the way the pasuk sounds. What does that mean? So I think a good friend of Chavrus of mine, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, many, many, many years ago pointed out to me that there's a sheet of the Ritva, in more than one place in the Ritva was a Talmud of a Talmud Ramban. The sheet of the Ritva in more than one place is a Lechatchila to the Mekayim Pshuta Shal Mikra. When you have a drasha that indicates against the Pshuta Shal Mikra, so for instance, one of the examples he showed me was in Yevamos, I think in the 12th parak Mitzvah Chalitza, it talks about the Chalitza process. So the Pasuk says that the Chalitza involves the woman taking his shoe, Na'alo, off of his foot. So what does Na'alo mean? So the Gemara is a drasha that Na'alo doesn't mean that he owns it, it means that it fits him. It has to be the right size. It has to be matim to his foot. But the Ritva says, b'lechatchila, he should take possession of the shoe if he doesn't already own it. Often, shoes, chalitza shoes are very specialized. There's so many different machloks and sfeikas about exactly how you're supposed to build it. So usually a well-stocked, but they didn't own shoes, sometimes a series of shoes, because if you want to have different sizes, not low. So ideally, the Beis Din will be maknet to the Yavam before the chalitza begins so he can own it. Why does he have to own it? Because Ritva seems to say, to mekayim pshuto shel mikra. Even though the drasha says that's not the din, so it's not a binding din, but there's a separate lechatchila of being mekayim pshuto shel mikra. So I wonder whether, and this is Rabbi Schwartz, I point out to me that there's more than one, that Ritva seems to say one to other places as well. I wonder if that's what the Ramban here is saying. And again, the Ritva was the Talmud of the Talmud, the Ramban. And there's a lechatchila to mekayim pshuto shel mikra. So it's not ma'akev. If you did tevila first and hagala second, and fundamentally it was like Tosfos, to an extent, but the pshuah shamikra indicates this order, and therefore the chetchili should be kind of the pshuah shamikra. So those are the three opinions.
Not because of
Tosfos
Biyado, but just because.
Right, not because of Tosfos Biyado, or maybe that's the import of the pshuah shamikra, but certainly mikadin. It's interesting three positions. Okay, so tonight we wrapped up the discussion of Hadacha, especially the issues of Hechsher L'Chatzon, and the questions of the Minig L'Chatchila to generally go beyond Hadacha. Both of those came up primarily in the Ramah and Sif Hei. And then we began the world of Haggalah in Sif Beis by looking at two issues in the Mechaber. One was the beginning of the discussion of materials, and specifically, stone is something that some of the Gaon were machbron, but the Mechaber follows the riff of the Rambam that stone is no different than metal. It is kasherable. The Grub pointed to that Mishnah in Ayin Dalet that made it seem like stone is like wood and is not like cheres. And the other issue that the Mechaber raises in Sif Beis is Aquidus Machlokas, Rashbam, and Tosis about do we want you to davka kasher before Tevila or not, and then interesting the Tov Vishar's Biyado versus this Yerushalmi, the significance of Tevila that may explain what the Rashba meant by Tov Vishar's Biyado. It's not about the Tarfas, as Tosis said, but maybe it is about the non-Jewish Leos. And then there's this other issue, and then the one more element here is that the Ramban, who seems to have a middle position, but the Lechadchil Yishuv B'Diavad, it's not Makiv. And that again is perhaps rooted in what the Ritva expresses elsewhere at greater length, this idea of a lechatchila to mekayim pshuto shel mikro. The Ramah in Sif Beis already gets us into the heavy duty dinim of Haggalah, and do you have to wait, do you not have to wait? And again, Sif Gimel tells us to look in Hilchos Pesach, and that is Bli Neder where we are headed going forward. Again, as I was saying before, going forward, I don't think it's going to be possible to have even earlier or later in the week. I have to see. Next week, definitely, I don't think we can have a Chabura. And the week after also, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think it's going to be very late. And then Thursdays is a Baruch Hashem Achas in the shul, in the Kehila. So, Bili Neder, our next Chabura will be 3 weeks from tonight. And I believe over the next day or so, I hope to put out extensive Ma'amu Kamas on Haggalah that I'll be planning to work on. And then hopefully I'll have a chance in 3 weeks from now to to come together as a chevra and begin to pick this apart. And again, as I said before, something to keep your eyes on is as we begin to explore the world of Haggadah, we're going to be looking at both the questions of what the method of Haggadah, not even Torah Liban, but just sort of the what goes into doing a proper, or the process of a proper Haggadah, when and how much and how and so on and so forth. And then there's a question of which Kalim. Number one, the question that breaks into both questions of materials. We said the stone you can kasher, and how about glass, and how about rubber, and how about plastic? Is there ever a way to kasher charis? And then, but beyond the questions of material, there are other questions about unique kalim also. A kli that was used as a kli rishon versus a kli that's only used as a kli sheni. How does that work? Are there ever kalim that are made out of metal or made out of wood, but because of the way they're constructed, they don't lend themselves to kashering because there are cracks and crevices or things like that. So those are sort of the two big issues, is both thinking about aspects of the process of Haggadah and thinking about the uniquenesses of different kalim, whether it's because of material or because of function or because of design and so on and so forth. Yashar koach. Thank you so much.